Thank you. And now we're going to do a little roundtable on a lady, Lizzie Borden, whose anniversary, of course, is this coming Tuesday, right? August the 4th. I always remember the 4th. It was my mom's birthday.
So really?
Kind of it's a special President day for me.
It's President Obama's birthday, too.
Well, there you go. See, good company, without a doubt. And Ryan's going to stick around for this also, for this little roundtable that we're having. And we have Leonard Ribello, who is the author of Lizzie Borden, Past and Present.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank
and we you have, you're welcome, Bill Pavo, who is the former curator of the Lizzie Borden B&B. He's also an historian, teaches history in Quincy,
yep,
Mass.
Thank you.
And we have Christy Bates, who is the new owner of Maplecroft.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you.
Now, why did you buy the house, Christy? That's like the number one question we all have. Why did you buy Maplecroft?
I've always been a mystery buff, unsolved mystery buff.
Oh,
My girlfriend and I, we went and visited the bed and breakfast in Fall River last June, and I had always wanted to see the mansion up on the hill. And my girlfriend, she happened to look it up online, and she says, "Oh my gosh, it's for sale!" And we went over and looked at it. Mr. Doobie let us in, and we fell in love with the house, and I ended up purchasing it about 3 months later.
Yeah. And that was, when was that?
We came up in June, around June.
Of last year, of
yes.
14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you've owned it a little bit more than a year. And I must say that the outside looks wonderful.
Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
You've done a very nice job with painting it. And it looks, it's so nice to see a house of that, you know, with that historical significance maintained. It's not just nice. I mean, it's very important. I didn't introduce Stephanie. Stephanie, who's acting
Hello.
As my co-host today, so it's very important that we have Stephanie talk too. And Stephanie actually organized this roundtable, so I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, well, you said who to bring, and I brought
who
the
to
kings.
Bring. Yes, exactly.
I brought the kings, Bill and Len, and the queen of Maplecroft.
Right.
You can't get any people better than that.
Now, my understanding is, which I just learned as we, you know, in break, that Len and Bill are now going to be working for Maplecroft. Tell us about your plans for Maplecroft. I'm sorry we have to keep moving these mics, but...
Oh, no problem, problem. In fact, I'd like to thank Bill Pavo and Len Ribello because they've been the center of deciding on the original paint color of the house. It was documented in Len Ribello's book, Past and Present, and he had done tons and tons of research. And it was recorded in an 1893 newspaper article that the colors were actually buff and bronze green.
Yeah,
yes.
Very pretty.
And so I've been working in conjunction with them, and we went up on the roof and all the different stories. We've heat gunned everything, and we're just bringing it back to its original splendor.
And it will be a bed and breakfast.
We're not sure about bed and breakfast.
Oh, okay.
We know we'll definitely be doing guided tours.
Yeah.
And we will definitely be doing events, but we're just not sure if they will be
nice.
Stayover events or not at this point.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm. And Bill and Len can probably share a little bit of some of our plans going forward.
Okay. I've known Bill for a while, and I helped him with the Second Street House. We did a lot of documentation and research using my book and going to libraries and that kind of thing. So we'd run out all over the city checking city deeds, city records, that kind of thing. So I've worked with Bill before, and he's very knowledgeable. And so what we're going to do for Christy is document the house. What's in the house, that type of deal.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not a lot of information about the inside of the house. So that gives us wide lateral as far as what to put inside the house now to interpret Lizzie's life.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working on it. We want to document everything. We want it to be as accurate as it possibly can be. We want Maplecroft to really be something that the city's going to be proud of.
And that there'll certainly have to be what I'd call a theatrical element to that, because she was very involved, as I'm sure you know, with the in that stage of her life with New York City and Broadway and actors and actresses from there that she even brought into her home here in Fall River.
Right.
So
that was Nance O'Neill.
Yeah.
Nance O'Neill.
And there were others. Yeah. I mean, I remember reading about parties that she threw at Maplecroft and, you know, with that in that sort of theatrical group. So that adds, I think, another dimension to her and to the house. that whole element of theater.
Absolutely, and we plan on doing enactments.
Having a great,
yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
That'll be great fun.
And
yeah.
Also offering tea parties,
nice.
Victorian lectures, a lot of educational programs.
Very nice, yeah.
We also want to see the new Lizzie from 1893
well, that's what
to
I
1927.
Mean. Yeah, yeah. Getting
you know,
into
I think that's Christie's
right,
intent.
Getting into that, like what I call the second half,
yes.
You know, of her life.
Right,
the
yes.
first
right.
half was the murders mm-hmm. and Second Street and all that, and then her growing up, her young adulthood, and then into the second half of her life, which was very different, I think, from the first
very
half.
Different.
Yeah.
I think the fact that Maplecroft is now going to be a toured facility is going to change Fall River's perception
yes.
of Lizzie Borden. And they'll be less likely to say, I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
I don't want to hear about the murder. It's all about the murder. Well, this house is not about the murder. This house is about someone living past that period of time, mm-hmm. choosing to stay in Fall River after what happened to her.
Could not have been an easy thing.
No, not at all. Yeah. And then picking that house and living in that house and making that house her home for the rest of her life. So I think that this is a much more positive spin on the history of Lizzie Borden mm-hmm. and the history of Fall River to 1927. So it's very significant for the city, and I hope the city embraces Christie as much as Christie is embracing Fall River.
Now, do you live in Texas? Is that what I remember reading?
Yes.
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 Where in Texas?
Plano, Texas.
Okay, so you're
outside of Dallas.
This is a little bit different.
It is, but I was born and raised in Pittsburgh,
oh,
Pennsylvania.
Oh, so yeah, you have some
yes.
some East Coast.
Absolutely, yeah, yes. Yeah. I lived in Pennsylvania probably for 20-some years, so the other 20-some over in Texas. But I'll be back and forth.
So, what, you know, let me ask the three of you what your feelings are about the murders and the...
Well...
Lizzie and who may be, and all this on, 123 years later, I think it is, Stephanie?
Right.
123
years.
Yeah.
The most recent...
1892 was the date.
Right. The most recent conversation I had was with a gentleman who was the grandson of Lizzie's house painter, original house painter, Friar. And he said that his family lore always was that Lizzie did it, but she wasn't guilty.
Hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's his family lore. And I think that the insinuation was she was touched in the head, that there was something not right about her and she didn't know what she was doing, according to that side of the story. I don't have an opinion one way or the other, whether she did it or not, nor do I care. I'm mostly interested in the history and how it relates to Fall River and how it relates to the era that she lived in. Lots of things happened during her lifetime. And she was quite an amazing person, I think, in beyond the murders and surviving all of that stress. I mean, the she was ostracized. She was ridiculed. The rhyme is out there all over the Herald News website, by the way. Lizzie Borden took an axe, which is totally inaccurate. But she's in the water supply. She really is. She's everywhere.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Bill and I have read all the theories. You know, Bridget did it, Lizzie did it, John Moss did it, John Moss hired people to do it. We've gone over the motives, you know, incest, abuse. Legally, it was the best murder trial, and it's still used in law school today. So technically and legally, it was right on target at that time. However, similar to O.J., you know, even though you're found not guilty, you leave that courthouse and the public court tells you you're guilty.
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
I happen to believe she is guilty for various reasons. However, proving it is difficult. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence. The John Morse theory holds up sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Bridget did it. I don't believe so. I interviewed people in Montana when I was doing my book. And I came back with some very interesting ideas and theories. What is your take on it, Bill?
I tend to lean towards Lizzie being the killer, but my mind is completely open. I'm absolutely okay if somebody else did it. I'm not 100% I'm not 100% sold on Lizzie, but it's hard to imagine somebody else doing it other than her, but somebody else could have.
on that day at that time, you know, under those circumstances, and gaining access and not being seen, and there's just so much that kind of leads in that direction. But again,
right.
you know,
right.
the thought of under a lot of duress, which people, I think she was on a med, wasn't she, of some kind, or was she not?
That was afterwards.
I'm thinking that, you know, obviously that could also have an effect.
One of the most telling lines is from Judge Blaisdell, who had to decide at the inquest, you know, Lizzie, I have to find you probably guilty. Judge Blaisdell's family knew Lizzie. He knew the Borden family. And that was a very difficult line to say, Lizzie, I find you probably guilty. Because he knew the family. They all knew each other.
Right, exactly. I mean, she came from the governing family of the city and the area. So, I mean, how are you going to say that that didn't have any effect? You can't possibly.
But interestingly, she was supported during the trial by everybody. The women's groups supported her. They rallied around her. Her minister was there by her side. People were on her side during the trial. She was the victim, not the perpetrator during her trial with her friends. But then afterwards, when she's found not guilty, it's strange that she was abandoned by the very same people who supported her during the trial.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make any sense that if, you know, you support her and you think she's not guilty and then she's found not guilty, why would you then drift away and not speak to her again? I think it is Fall River's, she's damaged goods.
Right.
Because she's been accused of something heinous. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what, that will always follow her. And people didn't want to be in her company because of that, because of the accusation, not necessarily the guilt or the innocence. I don't think that bothered people too much, but she was never going to be the same and treated the same by anyone.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to see what Christy, the new owner of Maplecroft, says about all this.
Welcome back to South Coast Arts and Entertainment with Kathy Castro.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking here on Arts and Entertainment in a little round table, and we're asking Christy Bates, who is the new owner of Maplecroft. We've been talking about what her plans are for Maplecroft. But in all of your research and in buying the house and all of that good stuff and becoming now part of the Fall River family, so to speak, although you do live in Texas, which is good, what do you think about that? What are your thoughts regarding it? And have they changed since you bought the house and got more involved in this?
If I take all the research into account and read things, I lean towards she's guilty. If I were a juror, I would have to acquit her. I live in the home. There's nothing but positive, good energy there. It's a very positive, comfortable environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't even imagine that she would have. But we're not one-dimensional either. So it's just really hard to say. But the house feels so comfortable.
But that also is the house of, let's say, the second half.
Correct.
Not the house where the murders actually happened.
Correct.
So if you were dealing with a person who, let's say, could be a split personality, at least in some ways, then that might have ended with Second Street, one part of that personality, and now another personality picked up with what we know today, which they did not know then, about psychology and so forth. That's 123 years ago, 1892. So, you know, times were different. I know my grandmother always told a story. She was in the city when Lizzie was murdered, and she always told a story of the fact that it was a police picnic that day, and there were very few officers on duty. And one of them, I was telling Ryan the story, one of them had to go by foot from wherever the precinct was at the time. I'm not sure if it was the Bedford Street precinct or not, whichever would have been closest to Second Street, on foot on a very hot August day to the scene, and of course discovered two dead bodies on the scene.
Uphill, of course, in this city, right?
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, had to leave there once he found what he found, two dead people, you know, who had been hacked to death, go back to the station to try to get some help. So, not an easy thing, you know, for the evidence. I mean, if you wanted to get rid of things, you had all the time in the world to do it during that. And, of course, it was the times. versus anything that would happen now. We might be wearing a camera and would all be recorded. Who knows?
I think it's just one of the biggest unsolved crimes that ever existed.
Yeah.
And the unique quality of it is that both houses still exist. The unique quality is now both houses will be tourable, which means you can have a sense of the history by walking in the locations where this person lived and breathed and died. So it is, it's unlike any other city's possible tourist destination because of that. And it's time for Fall River to acknowledge Lizzie Borden as a tourist destination and promote it. It is time now, because Maplecroft is open. It always was a private residence. This is really important.
And see part one and part two.
On that, when I was doing a lot of traveling throughout the Southeast, and I noticed when I would tell people I'm from Fall River, Massachusetts, my friends from Kentucky, Austin, Texas, Florida, that's one of the first things on their mind. They knew about it.
Lizzie,
that's
exactly.
The home of Lizzie Borden.
Yeah, yeah.
More so than, you know, Portuguese culture or the battleship or you have
anything
it.
Else.
Lizzie Borden was, boom, that was their first go-to. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you all for joining me today. Maybe
thank
we can
you.
Do a part
thank
two
you.
On
thank
this.
Thank you so much.
You know, next year, maybe we can get together again and talk about what's happening then.
Absolutely.
At Maplecroft.
Absolutely, that would be delightful.
I want to just say one quick thing. On August 6th, please don't forget, this is part of the South Coast Talent Search. BK's August 6th, August 13th, August 20th, and there's a grand finale on the 27th. So try to be there. See you next week.